Hello, this is Elodie Reed, digital producer for Vermont Public Radio. This podcast has been edited for brevity and clarity. Yay!
This is Vermont Edition. I'm Jane Lindholm. If you see a bear in your yard, you might have some mixed feelings. Awe, surprise, perhaps some fear. And while it's very cool to see bears, you don't really want them in your yard, not just for your own safety, but for the safety of the bears. Bears that get habituated to humans sometimes have to be killed. More Vermonters are coming into contact with bears than usual this summer. So Forrest Hammond, wildlife biologist and the leader of the state's black bear program at the Fish and Wildlife Department, says the first step might be to tell the bear, sternly and loudly, that it is not welcome near your home. Forrest joins us now with more good advice and a lot more information about the state's black bear population. Forrest Hammond, welcome back to the show.
Thank you, Jane. It's always a pleasure.
Well, I was listening back to a few years' worth of interviews I've done with you about bears just over the last couple of years. And several times during those interviews, you actually say that's what people should do. Tell the bear exactly what's wrong with its behavior. Say nicely, but firmly and loudly that the bear is not welcome. It needs to leave your yard and not come back. And I think in every interview, I always respond in the same way with a little bit of a chuckle and a questioning, like, do you really do that reaction? So I'm hoping that you and I can play to type and you can describe again how you think we should address the bears in our personal space.
Sure. I know it sounds simplistic to holler at the bear, but just like your dog recognizes the tone of your voice that it's done something bad, that the bear can do the same thing. And the very last thing you should do is allow a bear in your backyard to get bird seed or on your deck or something without reprimanding it, without making sure it is some kind of negative experience.
And by reprimanding it, you shouldn't just shout gibberish. You should shout negative words.
Absolutely. Let it know by the tone of your voice that you're angry and that it's your home range and the bear has to leave.
Have you seen the viral video of a Canadian man talking to some bears in his yard? People have been describing it as the most Canadian encounter with bears, where he says very gently to a mom, and I think it's a couple of cubs, you know, you need to go now. I've got to go to work.
I haven't seen that. Did the female actually leave?
She did. She's also Canadian.
Okay.
Why is it a problem to have bears in our yards? I mean, you know, beyond the possible destruction, and we can talk more about things like bird feeders and compost piles, but just, I mean, we had a bear and two cubs come into our yard over the weekend, and it was amazing. It was so cool. And we did take a little video, and then I promise you I did speak very firmly to that bear and her cubs. But is it a problem if they're coming that close to the house?
Not necessarily. It's more of a problem for the people in whether or not they'll tolerate the bear. We did a recent survey for our big game plan, and it showed that 70% of the people actually indicated that they'll tolerate bears on their property and even in their backyard, as long as they're not causing conflicts.
So it's not a problem if you have bears in the neighborhood, if you have bears moving through your property. That's not necessarily a conflict.
It's not necessarily a conflict all by itself. In the last few decades, what we've seen is a change in the distribution of bears, where they have moved down out of the mountains and they're trying to make a living now in our towns where we have higher densities of people. And so they're feeding on natural foods in the nearby forest.
Can you talk more about that for us? Because it's fascinating to me. It's we don't actually have more bears right now than we did, you know, 8 years ago or so. In fact, at one point we had 7,000-ish bears, and now you think it's more like 5,000-ish?
That's true over the short term, but the long term trend has been more bears. Certainly we've got more bears than we had 30 years ago or 20 years ago. But somewhere around 2010, 2011, we did have a blip in our population estimate where we believe the bears were above our population objective, which was 6,000. And so we took steps through management, through our hunting season structure and length, to harvest more bears and begin bringing the population down, which we have brought it down some so that it's within what we've identified as a population goal through our outreach efforts for our big game plan.
And the population goal is somewhere in the 5,500 range at the top end?
At the top end, yes.
And we're getting near the top end, right?
We may be. We're due to do another population estimate every year once we get harvest information back and the age information back from the bears that are harvested. We run another population model, and that's actually being done at this time. But the estimate that we did last year did show that we were starting to get toward the upper end of that.
I interrupted you, though. What you were saying was about the change in the small-scale habitat of where the bears are, that they've moved from the mountains more into populated areas. And I think that's really interesting because it's not that we have more bears now, as I said, than 8 or 10 years ago, although more bears than we did historically, or at least in the recent history. But they're more bears around where there are people. Why are the bears coming into more populated areas?
Well, as I say, the bears are living now in almost every town in the state. And that is different from 1990, when we only had half the towns in the state had populations of bears. So they're living in the towns. And unfortunately, Vermont does not have a consistent food source for the bears, including every other year. It tends to be a bad food year. The even numbered years, like this year, there's a shortage of bear foods, especially during the summertime and even into the fall if a drought continues. And we don't expect to have as many nuts and berries as we did last year, because last year was a phenomenal year.
Mm-hmm. But why are they – that would be true whether they were living near humans or not, that the variation in crops and in food supply is going to affect them. Is there a deeper reason why they're moving into, as you said, almost every Vermont town now?
Well, as I said, we allowed the population to increase starting in 1990 to meet the desires of the human public that indicated that they would like to see and have more bears. What happened was it was not just an increase in the bear population where they lived, which was mostly in the mountainous regions at the time. But apparently those habitats were already saturated with bears, because the bears, as their population grew, did expand out into the lower elevation areas where we have a lot more people. And of course, there were a lot more interactions with people that began to take place then. And the number of those interactions increases every other year when the food supplies are short for the bears.
Forrest, the cubs that we saw over the weekend, one of the young cubs did a little moonwalk backwards. Can you talk a little bit about cub behavior? Because it was pretty cute to watch.
Cubs are very cute. And you know, they're very intelligent and they learn fast. A disconcerting thing about bear behavior is a year like this where there's a shortage of foods and they follow their mother into backyards and maybe get bird feeders and garbage, is that they're going to be adults soon and perhaps doing the same thing and having cubs. And we think that's part of the reasons we're seeing increased number of conflicts, is we've got more and more bears learning that backyards are a source of food.
Well, some people on our VPR Facebook page are linking Vermont's new composting laws with more bear sightings. Gregory says, we assume sarcastically, probably has nothing to do with the new composting law. And Aaron added, yeah, bears are loving all the new compost bins. Are you seeing that? Is that one of the ways that we're seeing more human-bear interactions and perhaps more conflicts, Forrest?
Yes. I mean, our universal recycling law actually passed in 2012. And so we've had, for the past 8 years, more people getting ready to be told they have to compost. And we've had more composting taking place. And so we do get reports of bears that are getting into compost and causing some issues, including this year, the most we've ever seen. But at the same time, I think just people are in learning to compost are making a lot of mistakes and not taking some of the precautions they need to. And so there's a learning curve there, which I think we'll get over with. But at this time, that's probably responsible for some of the uptick. But at the same time, most of the people who complain about bears having gotten into their compost say that the bear first got their bird feeder or garbage. So they probably actually came into that backyard looking for something else. And composting, if done right, shouldn't give off many odors. So shouldn't attract bears from very far all by itself.
So what should you do if you're new to composting, or even if you're not so new, but you've started noticing that the bears may be closer to where you live? Any advice?
Sure. Do as much research and learn as much as you can about the different ways to do composting and how to protect it from wildlife. With the first thing being just look around your backyard, make sure you don't have other attractants like bird feeders up that are going to be drawing the bears in anyway. And if you have those up, chances are your composting is not going to work.
Hmm. And you told me once, speaking of bird feeders, which you said are a major attractant, that you think bears might be able to smell black oil sunflower seeds a mile away.
We believe from the different anecdotal evidence we have from people doing studies on bears and bears traveling to, say, to beach stands and things like that that they've never been to before, that if they're downwind, that they can probably smell those sources of food from a mile or more away.
But they can't smell compost from that far away or trash?
Well, they could if it's an open pile in your backyard. But if you're composting correctly and you're using three times as much brown material that you're mixing in with it, then that, and you're being very careful not to put bones and fat and meat into it, things that really smell, then it shouldn't be giving off many odors at all.
All right. So less of an issue, the compost, than the bird feeders. And we hear every year, take down your bird feeders. Given that bears are in just about every Vermont town, should that be advice that goes for almost everybody now rather than just people who knew they lived near bears before?
I really believe so. Just about every town in the state now, we've got populations of bears. And we believe that's almost like a gateway drug for bears. Is they can smell it from a distance, and it's out there even at night when they first visit a backyard, and that probably is the first thing that attracts bears to backyards. And they're intelligent, and we think there's a bear behavioral ladder of progression where they first get bird seed, then look around for other things like garbage, and then they'll look throughout the neighborhood, anything that they can smell or find, including compost then.
For people who have compost or who have certain kinds of compost, do you recommend fences, electric fences for bears? We've talked about this before for people who keep bees, for example.
Yeah, it's a pretty simple thing. If you already have an electric fence up around your bees, to put your compost in with the beehives. And electric fencing is kind of the ultimate way to keep bears out. There are other things you can do with scare devices and location of where your compost is and things like that. But yeah, electric fencing is some of the best things you can do. There's an investment, but it's a long-term investment if you do want to compost and compost successfully.
It always seems counterintuitive to me, the advice to bait your fence, because then you're actually calling the bear in. I understand that you want the bear to get shocked and shocked on the nose where it's sensitive and not come back. But do you really want to bait your fence and try to bring a bear into that area?
If a bear is inclined to come into your backyard and look for food, we want them to have a negative experience. And one of the worst negative experiences it could have is to touch its nose or lips to electric fence. Well, boy, it gives them such an uncomfortable charge of energy that they're going to think twice about even coming back into your backyard.
So it is a good idea to bait.
It actually is, yes. There's already the attractant there if you've got bees or compost behind it. And we want them to concentrate and set their nose or lips against the electric charge.
We got a note from Bill in Ripton who emailed in to say, we've lived in Ripton with no bear sightings for 2 years, but almost immediately after the lockdown started, we had a bear on our deck one morning. And this morning, I almost hit a bear while I was driving down our road. My neighbor said it had been rooting in her garbage earlier this morning. Lauren in Queechee says, we typically have one bear sighting every 4 years, but since May, we've had 5 sightings, and I worked from home in the past. We've never had feeders. So maybe different perspectives for us on whether people are perhaps noticing more bears because they're home more this year because of the pandemic, or, you know, Lauren says, not for me. I've often been home, but this year feels different. How different is this year?
Well, I think there's a lot of factors, especially with COVID-19. All our behavior has changed. I think an awful lot of us, most of us, are working from home. So there's more people home. They're more apt to see a bear if it comes through your backyard. And I think people are bored, and they're more apt to be feeding the birds, putting out bird seed. We've got non-residents who have second homes who returned to the state earlier this year, and they're looking for things to do. And they're probably a little more inexperienced when it comes to bears and what they should do. We can actually create worse behavior in bears by our own behavior. I just had a story the other day from Waitsfield where a family from New York was eating at their picnic table. They were eating their dinner at a picnic table, they said, and a bear came out on their lawn, and so they quickly fled into the house and left their dinner on their picnic table.
Oh, no.
And so the bear just looked around and walked over to the table and ate all their meals and then sat down and looked at them where they were looking at the bear from their deck or windows or whatever. And although we don't know what the history of that bear already was, I can guarantee that that experience for that bear emboldened it like nothing you can imagine. It got a huge food reward. Plus, it learned that people don't seem to care and will even provide the food for it. So when it goes to the next yard or the next one, and they might travel 5 miles in a night checking backyards, it may and it probably will be more aggressive trying to get that food. And this often doesn't end well for bears if they start trying to go for the source of that food and they begin breaking into houses when people are there.
Are you having more problem bears this year? Have any bears had to be moved or killed in Vermont?
Well, it's tough to say if we've had more that have had to be killed. All our game wardens are working very hard not to have to put down any animals. And so instead, they're giving mostly advice to folks, trying to help them out who are having problems with bears. But occasionally, a bear's behavior will reach the point that it's so bad that it does have to be put down. And I just had a call this morning of a bear in Waterbury that apparently had been getting into dumpsters and garbage and had been pulling garbage into the woods, and anybody that came by, it would apparently protect its food source and run out at them, bluff charge them. And at that point, we all start getting pretty nervous when we have bears rushing out at people. So that bear was trapped, and this morning it was just destroyed in Waterbury.
How does that feel to wardens? Because obviously, you know, you're not trying to kill bears. On the other hand, we have a bear hunting season. Hunting bears is part of the culture for some here. So how do you look at it?
As far as wardens having to do management operations put down, I guarantee from talking with them and working with them that it's something that they do not like doing. They usually check in with me and ask if there's anything else they can do with that bear based on its behavior or not. But human safety certainly comes first. And if we think that a bear might be in a position where it could, say, get stuck in a garage or house and injure somebody, then that bear is usually we will try to target that bear. Normally, the landowner himself will destroy the bear in working with the game warden. But last year, there were 24 bears that were had to be destroyed that way.
And 24,
there's a good chance
did you say?
Yes, a total of 24. There could be more this year. One reason we don't actually have a lot more than that is we do have a hunting season that lasts usually more than 80 days each year. And so bears that are not as wary as people, and probably a lot of these bears that have been coming into backyards and stuff are often taken by hunters once that season starts.
Let's go to Julie, who's calling in from Underhill. Hi, Julie. Go right ahead.
Hi. I've lived in Underhill for maybe 35, 40 years, and we have always had a bear. well, for the past 10 years at least, come through our yard, and we've seen it several times, and it's beautiful. And one time it came with cubs. But this year, it came in my house. And I don't want to euthanize. I don't understand why they're not relocated. So we're going to put up an electric fence.
How did the bear get in your house, Julie?
Well, it was on those hot nights. We never close our sliding glass doors, just the screens and our doors, and it came in the kitchen screen door, and I came downstairs and heard a plate fall on the floor and went in, turned on the light, and he ran out the door. But
Julie, that sounds kind of alarming. What did you think when you looked out and saw the bear?
It wasn't alarming. It really wasn't, because I know he's not going to attack me if he has a way of getting out, and I wasn't threatening him. As soon as I turned on the light, he knew, and he ran. And when he got outside, I clapped my hands and hollered at him, told him, get. And since then, we've been closing the windows and the kitchen door and sliding glass doors because of him coming in. And he came back once after that and tore the screen out of the screen door again, but he hasn't been back since.
Hmm. And so you don't want this bear euthanized, but you would like to maybe see it moved. Is that what you're saying?
Well, I know that they're going to take it away and euthanize it, so we're going to put up electric fence and try and deal with it on our own first.
Forrest Hammond, what do you think about what Julie's telling us?
I find that very interesting. And Julie, I can understand caring about the bear. And it sounds like you're taking a lot of the right steps so that the bear does not have another opportunity to get inside your house. But a bear that does come into your house, sometimes they get stuck and they don't see an easy way out. And that can be what we consider a very dangerous situation. 2 years ago in New Hampshire, a woman was badly injured and actually lost her eyesight in one eye because of a situation like that. But it sounds like you're taking the right steps to deal with it, and you're trying to scare the bear away. So we certainly hope that works. It is good that we get reports, though, of things like that. We don't automatically, on a bear breaking into, decide that it has to be destroyed at all. We look at the situation and whether or not there are other things that can be done, and even how the landowner feels about the situation. So I assure you, we don't try to euthanize every bear that causes an issue. We try to take a lot of other steps, but it sounds like you're real savvy about doing those yourself. But one thing we don't do is to come and relocate a bear, trap it, and move it. And there's a couple reasons for that. One, Vermont's a very small state, and there's a good chance it could just come back. And the other is we'd be afraid we're moving a bad situation to another neighborhood by moving it. So we prefer to work with the landowners to try to solve the situation there, especially when you consider if the attractants are still there, then it might be a case where even if you remove the bear, you'd still have bears coming in.
Wow. Yeah, that's interesting. But yes, an amazing story, Julie. Thank you for sharing it with us. Let's go to Janice, who's calling in from Jericho. Hi, Janice.
Hi. Thanks for taking my call. I saw a bear yesterday. Yesterday morning, we have several acres of common land in our little neighborhood that is all field that's up against some town forest. And I saw a bear as I was out walking my dog from about 50, 60 yards away. And luckily, my dog didn't see it. And I got her to come with me. And we ran back the other way and back up to the street and the houses as fast as we could. But I just wonder, I was a little wary about taking my dog back down. I walk her there every day, sometimes 2-3 times a day. So this morning, we did a much shorter loop, nowhere near the woods. But just wondering what interaction there might be between my dog and the bear, and what I should be aware of.
Yeah, thanks for the call, Janice. What about it for us?
Boy, that's a good question, and it's a good opportunity to address that, because in 75% of the cases where people are actually injured by bears, there is usually a dog involved that got the bear angry and perhaps chased the bear cubs, and the bear then tries to chase the dog and it runs back to its owner. So it can be a real problem. So especially all the national parks and areas where there's a lot of bears and where there's trails where bears have been seen, the advice usually is to have control of your dog. Either have it on a leash or make sure that your dog will obey you and sit and stay when you tell it to.
While we're talking about bears and dogs, I think Mary Ann, who's calling in from Wilmington, also has a concern about dogs. Hi, Mary Ann. You're on the air.
Hi. Hi. How are you? I think I have had a similar problem because I have bears that come through my property regularly up my long driveway. It's the superhighway back to the woods behind me. I worry about the dogs, and because we've had two different dogs killed nearby here when their owners took them out on a leash after dark, and they were attacked and killed by the bear. So here's what I do. It's the best I can do. I have an air horn, which is very loud. It comes as like a little aerosol can. And anytime I see a bear coming through my property, I watch for them. I give it a lot of honks, and they run like crazy. If I take my dog out first thing in the morning, I look around all over the place to make sure I don't see any bears, and often I'll go out with my air horn because that's what I'm worried about. I'm really concerned about my dog. I think bears are beautiful, but it can be a threat to a dog I love.
Yeah, Mary Ann, thanks for that. So, Forrest, it sounds like Mary Ann's following some of the advice that you've given us previously, too.
Oh yeah, I think she's got it covered. It sounds like she's being very attentive, and she's got the air horn, and if she does see a bear, she's giving it that negative experience. So I think she's protected herself and protected her dog. I think she's done the right things.
Let's go to Charlie calling in from Fairfax. Hi, Charlie.
Hello.
Go right ahead.
Yes. My question is, my wife runs on a section of it's not populated, dirt road. Once in a while, a car, but not that often. And twice she's run into a bear. Once she saw it quite in the distance, and it went the other way, and she went the other way. And another time, she heard a rustling in the grass on the side of the road, and it was right there next to her, and it came right out of it didn't come out after her, but it raised up out of the ditch, and it was quite large. And so what would a person do if they're out running and they run into a bear?
Thanks for that question.
Yeah, sure. There's a couple things she can do. She could carry some kind of little noisemaker, even a whistle with her that could make a loud noise that would scare the bear. One thing that certainly works for bears that are up close and personal is bear spray. There's commercial bear spray. It works very good. It's been tested on polar bears, grizzly bears, and black bears, and it can actually stop a charging bear. So if you think you might be in a situation where you might encounter a bear, say you're hiking alone, trail going through berry patches and stuff like that, having a can of bear spray in your possession and knowing how to use it is super protection for especially your peace of mind. It certainly puts you in control of the situation. One warning I would give is that bear spray is very powerful, and that we recommend that people in getting it make sure they get on and Google, get on the internet and look at some of the training videos on how to use it. There is the right and wrong way to use bear spray.
Yeah, because it sounds like it could sort of get in your own eyes, right?
It could. It would be uncomfortable. But certainly, even if you were in a situation with a bear where you had to quickly repel it, even if you got some on you and you were uncomfortable, it would still be worthwhile having it.
Are these bear cans, bear spray, usually small enough that somebody who's running wouldn't feel totally encumbered by carrying it?
Yeah, there are two different sizes, a large size and a smaller size. The large size, if you're using it properly, you can get 6 or 7 bursts out of it. You should only need one burst or one or two for any individual encounter. So a small can would be perfect for someone jogging.
I have been doing a lot of night running and night walking, and as I mentioned, we definitely have some bears in our neighborhood. Is there a certain time of day where you might be expected to encounter more bears?
Yeah, bears are more active, especially around people's backyards. and where they know there'll be people at the very early morning hours and the late evening hours.
So just be aware at those times.
Yes. And during the night, obviously.
Now, you know, if you're encountering a bear, we've been talking about, you know, what to do. And I think, you know, maybe the tension is starting to rise in people's throats and chests. But and you mentioned that 75% of bear attacks involve a dog. But bear attacks are exceedingly rare with black bears in this part of the country, right?
They certainly are. We've only had two that would we consider to be bear attacks in the state, two people injured in the past 10 years, both of which were elderly women who persisted in feeding bears on their deck and at their home, despite getting warnings from game wardens who had come to their property after getting calls from their neighbors that they were seeing a lot more bears at their house, and they blamed it on that person who'd been feeding it. Both those women were injured by the bears. That were, in one case, the bears were trying to get to the source of the food and break into her house. And she'd actually been fighting it off for a number of days with a broom. And at one point, it actually got mostly in and did scratch her arms. And in the other case, the woman, it was a case some years ago in Cabot where the woman had been feeding the bears on her porch and she had a sow and some cubs there. And she was watching the cubs on her deck one day, and her cat went to go between her legs and out through a sliding door. And she quickly grabbed the cat by the tail to grab it back, and it let out a loud screech. And the mother bear was just around the corner, and she obviously thought her cubs were being attacked. And she came around, and she did bite and scratch that woman, and the woman had to go to the hospital. Luckily, it was just superficial wounds. But those were the two cases we know of. Anybody who intentionally feeds bears puts themselves more at risk than anybody else. And we had warned both those women that was the case, and both of them were injured afterwards.
Hmm. Speaking of bears that seem to be somewhat aggressive, Elizabeth in Heartland said, I recently was driving from West Windsor to Heartland, and seated in the middle of the road as I came around a turn was a large bear. I stopped, not knowing what to do. The bear turned and for a moment started running toward my car, then quickly turned and ran into the woods when I backed up a little. Elizabeth wonders what should she have done, saying, I've never seen a bear before. It kind of freaked me out to see one sitting in the road like that. But perhaps more problematic, Maureen in Danville says, my sister was chased around a tree by a bear this spring. She was hitting it with a stick, and the bear was still moving towards her. Fortunately, her dog chased the bear off. This was a bear with no cubs that could be seen. It terrified my sister, and she feels she would have been mauled if not for the dog. The bear was then in their riding arena last night, climbing into a horse cart. This doesn't seem like normal behavior, does it? Forrest, can you address both of those?
It certainly doesn't seem like normal behavior. I'm aware of the first report, and game warden investigated that. And we weren't sure exactly why that bear acted that way, but we suspect it was a female with cubs and was probably angry over the fact there was a loose dog there. We've had other incidents similar to that. It did seem strange. The woman said she was chased by the bear. But she said she just had a flimsy stick and admitted that if the bear really wanted to hurt her, it certainly could. We have instances of bears coming into backyards when people are there that happen all the time, probably tens of thousands of times across the country. And bears do not want to touch people. They go out of their way to avoid that. They are attracted to the foods that we have in our backyards. But, boy, they've got all the equipment to badly hurt us, but we just aren't getting reports of people being run down and injured by bears. So there's something going on where the bears are actually probably kind of confused. They are coming into our backyard searching for food, but they don't want anything to do with us.
Hmm. Let's see if we can squeeze another thought in here from Michael, who's calling in from Windsor. Hi, Michael. Go right ahead.
Hi, Jane and Frosty. It's Michael. My question is about food plots. It seems like a lot of these human-bear conflicts are over food. I know it's illegal to feed wildlife in Vermont, and yet it is legal to install food plots on land, state or private land. Is there any way that either the state or individual landowners could put in food plots in the correct locations that would provide the food that the bears are looking for, and would enhance the wildlife habitat and maybe reduce the number of human-bear interactions?
Absolutely. And bear behavioralist Ben Killam actually uses that. He has some food plots up in the woods, and he's convinced that the bears that found all that clover are bears that don't have to go down to town during the summer and try to find human foods. We can talk about it more, though, Mike.
So is that something that the state is considering, though, as a part of its management plan?
You know, we're not. It'd just be a large-scale expensive thing to do, but we certainly recommend that landowners try food plots, and there's a lot of benefits to them.
And if you want to try a food plot, this is not the same as baiting.
It's not the same as baiting. And also planting bird and pollinator-friendly plants in their backyard is a good option other than feeding the birds.
Ah, so if you want birds, don't have the bird feeder, just get bird-friendly plants. Not so attractive to bears.
Right.
And bottom line, is it still everybody should be excited about the bears in their neighborhood as long as they're taking steps to try to make sure that the bears and the human interactions are positive ones?
Oh, I think so. I think, you know, most of the people, including myself, feel it's just a joy to see such a beautiful animal like that, our largest predator in the state. It's a native animal. It's here. And most of us enjoy seeing it as long as it's not in a conflict situation.
That's Forrest Hammond, a wildlife biologist and leader of the state's Black Bear Program at the Vermont Department of Fish and Wildlife. Forrest, always a pleasure to talk with you. Thanks very much.
It is, Jane. Thank you very much.